You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey everyone, welcome. This week we are switching around the order a little bit. As you know, usually the last Thursday of the month is a cartoon, and we already hinted at what it might be in favor of Earth Day. However, because of a change to the Marvel schedule between now and the beginning of the year, of course, we are slotting in Iron Man, as you can see. Figured it would be a kind of a nice transition into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and an turned out to be a really damn good movie. If you're listening to this when it drops, next week I will be riffing another Marvel movie, the 1990 Captain America movie, which is really crap, starring Matt Salinger, everyone's favorite author from high school, J.D. Salinger's son, the guy who wrote Catcher in the Rye's son, actually acted in a movie. And if you look real close, you might notice that his ears are actually rubber because they couldn't figure out how to make the ear holes work in his costume. So there. Rate and review us. We love that. Join the Facebook group. You can hear stuff or share stuff. It's a good group. And then finally, you know, thanks for listening, guys. Really. We're growing. We have a Patreon that's coming. But at the moment, tune into the ESO Patreon. They have a lot of good stuff, and we have some stuff heading their direction soon. Thanks.
Okay, let's talk about the Flopcast.
Where every week we drink a lot of coffee and we talk about comic books,
movies,
conventions,
music,
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, don't forget the coffee.
Lots of weird, obscure pop culture stuff from the 70s and 80s.
And chickens. Yeah, chickens.
This will be the stupidest half hour of your week.
We guarantee it.
You can find us on the ESO Network.
And Flopcast.net.
Welcome to Maybe Defend Your Childhood. This week, in honor of Marvel's Age of Avengers 3, the redefinition. What's this, Infinity Wars?
Infinity War.
And they got rid of the second Infinity Wars. It's just going to be another Avengers movie.
No, it's going to be part two.
Is it going to be part
it's two?
Still
part two.
We watched the only Avengers movie that we could be bothered to watch that fit into this criteria. So we watched this instead of Incredible Hulk because I didn't want to nap for 2.5 hours. I'm Nick Hoffman. Oh,
And with the child, woo! That is saying something.
Yeah. Right. I was going to make a joke. Oh, this is the sequel to Swingers. Swingers, the billionaire edition. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and Riff Ron Cineprov this time. And on panel, we've got
Steve-O
and
Kelly.
And
you are so money. Tom Herman.
You're so money.
Is that a thing?
It's from Swingers. It's Chef is good too. I like Jon Favreau as a director, I've decided. Just now, apparently. How loud it all be. Also, I kind of like his character in this movie. Anyway, whatever. We don't talk about how we put this together. We have a big meeting at a sports bar. We assemble these movies. We're changing how we do this every time. But we wanted to do a movie for Avengers because we knew this was going to be the biggest movie on the planet when it came out. Probably bigger than Han Solo, which is getting already mixed interest.
This movie is already outselling Black Panther, which is the top selling movie in the nation.
Yeah, the pre-sales outsold it when we're recording it, and I assume by the time it's come out, because this is coming out the Thursday when it probably opened on Wednesday at midnight, because that's what Wednesday at midnight is, the new Friday.
Black Panther's killing it. They're gonna build Wakanda. They've got the money now.
I think the part that bothers me is they used to have a weekend release was potentially Thursday night at midnight, so basically the beginning of Friday through the weekend, that was a weekend release. And now it's like Wednesday through the weekend counts as a weekend release. So if you're comparing like a weekend release of Star Wars back in the 1970s to today, it's not really a fair comparison, even if you're not taking inflation into account, because you've just basically extended the weekend by another 2 days.
Well, here's the thing. The mouse has redefined the work week.
Disney has redefined everything. It's the metric system. It's whatever you want. Like at this point, we're wearing three Mickeys to the dollar. And
oh boy, I'm a dick.
That's horrifying in the headphones.
I think even if you were to cut off 2 days, though, you still have like maximum sales.
Yeah.
It's not like.
No, I mean, and again, it's pre-orders. So like this is like it's selling like concert tickets. The last time Smash Mouth went on tour.
Boo.
Yeah, right. And boo. I hear Backstreet's back. All right. Yeah. I mean, I might as well make jokes that are 10 years old as well. So
they weren't funny then either.
No. Steve, you want to give me a plot synopsis?
Can we take a second to appreciate that this movie is, in fact, 10 years old? Mm. And I apologize to all of our actual old listeners, but God damn it. 10 years ago, this movie looked brand spanking new.
This is one of the first movies I saw when I moved back to Atlanta. And, you know, I think my wife had just moved down at the time. Not even fiance, girlfriend had moved down to Atlanta because this was a summer release 2008.
May release. 2008.
So right after she had graduated, this is and it holds up like the computer graphics, the way it looks, the way it feels. I guess apparently being a billionaire and being classy doesn't change much over time.
It doesn't. So are you ready for your lightning round plot synopsis?
Yeah, man.
So I'm not your plot synopsis guy, so you just strap in, folks. On the last episode of Iron Man, Tony Stark is in the desert in Afghanistan, where he's shot at. His entire convoy is murdered. And Tony Stark is subjugated to his captors. So, you know, we've got the Dudes of Ten who capture Tony Stark, pull him into a cave, and they need him to build a missile to deliver his technology to their group. But of course, Tony Stark, being the renegade that he is, defies these men and builds a robot and escapes in the robot.
I'm sorry, did you just say robot?
Yes, sir, twice. All right.
As long as we're clear on that.
And that's about it. Tony Stark is inspired by his escape attempt and his robot prototype, so he builds Iron Man and punishes all the bad dudes throughout Los Angeles in particular. He doesn't really venture beyond.
So basically what you're telling me is that dudes and dudettes, Major League Butt Kicking is back in town.
Yes, sir.
Bro.
So I like that you said dudettes.
So there's this whole inclusive subplot where the dude shows up and sort of, ousts Tony Stark and takes over his business and builds his own robot, but that's kind of not important to the plot. It's really about the escape and the desert vacation.
All right. Thank you, Steve. So Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. The best ever?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
The best ever Iron Man?
I want to be friends with Robert Downey Jr. As an amputee, I feel like he and I would really get along. And somehow that still ties in to Tony Stark.
Do you feel like he
could you be his missing heart?
Yeah.
Like a
no, probably not. I don't know.
Kicking leg.
I want one.
Right?
Not that I don't already do that. Just ask one of my ex-boyfriends. But
you need a rocket-powered leg.
Rocket power would be good. Although the metal tends to make people bleed just as well.
Anyway, Robert Downey Jr. plays Tony Stark. One thing I give this movie credit right away, you don't often see the hero of the movie tortured for 20 minutes to start off a superhero movie.
Well, no, not to start a superhero movie, but we did see this one other time in another movie that we have done for a podcast, not this specific podcast, but for Mission Briefing.
Oh, yeah.
We did see Die Another Day, and that was shit. And we got to see 20 minutes of torture.
Better acting by Robert Downey Jr. than Pierce Brosnan, would you say?
Oh, hell yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That lower jaw acting that Pierce Brosnan.
Oh.
Well, that's not even the one where he gets strapped into that like torture sex chair. That's the
no. That was the one before. Enough, world.
Anyway.
Yeah. No kidding.
We keep avoiding this movie, but it wasn't a bad.
No,
movie.
No. We enjoy this very movie. Much. Okay. So Robert Downey Jr. is tortured. He gets thrown in the cave. And then we cut back to like whatever 6 months before, a few days before. The timeline jumps around a lot in this. But effectively, he is billionaire son of a better Stark, He's apparently brilliant, but his dad started this mega company that led the Manhattan Project in this world, did all these kind of great things, and he's the billionaire playboy type. And so we're kind of cutting in between like the past and the present where he's in this, in a cave. But effectively we start with him on a convoy going through whatever, doing a weapons demonstration somewhere in the vague Middle East, fighting a vague Asian, like a kind of terrorist organization. And we're cutting to the modern day where his business partner, Jeff Bridges, Obadiah Stank. What's his name?
Stain.
I mean, it's not that much better than Stank, so I don't know why you gave me that view.
He's the burly dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing husky Jeff Bridges. He's in the senator phase of his career. So what are you thinking?
I think everyone hates Jeff Bridges in this so much that he doesn't ever have a line at Dragon Con.
Really?
Never. I walked right up to him and I was like, hey, you did a great job. And he's like, people hate me. I'm sorry.
I love him. He's always going to be the dude to me, and that will never change.
The only problem I have is, I agree, he is the dude, but he does bug me that he also tried to be the Duke. And to me, that is a clash that should not happen.
Yes. Fair. I like him, though. Like, he, because what was the... He's been in shit, too. Tideland is unwatchable, and I love everyone involved with it, but it made the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, and I saw him at Dragon Con the year I cosplayed Pepper Potts, so it was perfect. I was actually in my dress when I met him.
Did he threaten you with your computer?
No, he just should've. Stared at me like, how dare you insult me this way?
Just sneak a USB, Brian.
He has two Academy Awards?
I think so.
Three?
Daniel, Jeff Bridges Academy Awards, one or two?
We all have phones in front of us, and we're yelling
across. We do not all have phones.
Mr.
In front
Encyclopedia,
of us.
Do you have the answer for us?
I'm only familiar with one Academy Award. I think he's got four or five nominations.
Okay.
That's fine. Good enough. Yeah, he won one. Good for you. Do you know what it was for, Daniel?
Do you want to share my mic,
what was
Daniel?
That
movie,
Crazy Heart? Was that it?
Yeah, that was the one. Very good. He also won a Saturn Award for Tron. Anyway.
Deserved.
Yeah. So this movie is about Tony Stark essentially developing the suit, getting out of being a terrorist hostage, and saving the day. The first suit we get because he builds an arc reactor to replace a car battery powering his heart.
No. Well, I mean, that's technically the way they put it, but it's really powering a magnet that's keeping a bunch of shrapnel from it basically...
Invading his heart,
yeah.
Oh, and what we learn at the beginning, which is important, is that it's from a specifically Stark weapon that he looks over and sees it says Stark Industries on the side of it at the casing. Like, I like the idea that they brand their weapons like a Nike swoosh on the side of it. Like,
Mayhem and Destruction brought to you by Stark Industries.
It's like that Looney. It's like that Disney short, The Fuhrer's Face, where Donald's working on a bomb assembly line, and they're just literally a guy stamping swastikas on the side. It's like there's a guy who's stenciling on the Stark logo on the side of bombs.
Can't believe you referenced that one for that.
I show it in history class. It's Academy Award winning.
I am aware.
This is like very Fallout. It's almost slapstick.
It is.
Right?
I mean, okay, so anyway, so Stark has a crisis of conscience is what this movie's kind of about, right? Because when he gets rescued from the terrorist camp after killing everyone with a bomb suit he makes, at least thinking he does.
Which looks like a Cyberman with flamethrowers.
Awesome.
So cool.
It's
so
cool.
Best suit in the movie.
It's so steampunk. It's great.
I love it.
Well, and to your point, I think that all the suits look good, but this one looks real. Like, this really does look...
Like, you could actually put this together in your garage.
Well, and it reminds
Don't,
me of... Right. For no, legal reasons.
Don't. But, like, maybe you could.
I mean, nothing about it is illegal. So, you know, if you want to, I'm not saying you should, but...
I'm saying you should not.
I'm saying that if you want to make the FBI your best friend. No, but I was going to say, it reminds me of the 2002 Spider-Man movie where the first suit looks like something someone actually could just make. And then they reboot it into something that's clearly CGI. The first one's just kind of spot welded, which is kind of neat. I think that's cool. And he's talking about hexes. And he's like doing the little nuts on it. Like, it's good.
I like it.
Yeah. I also learned today the other day where the word hex comes from, like a spell. Ooh, hex is six. So it's the mark of the demon, right? Because you're putting a hex on someone, you're putting the 666 on someone. Ooh.
That makes sense. Is that really where it came from?
Yeah. People are stupid. Like it's really that simple. It's just like, Anyway.
I love that it feels like Nick just now figured out that last point.
It was last week. I annoyed my wife with it for like 12 hours. I was like, I know what hex comes from. I knew what I was reading Latin. I was like, it's easy. So, I mean, the problem with talking about this for you guys listening, I assume you're listening to it because Avengers came out. You don't know much about our podcast. We're being goofy on purpose. Here's the thing. You've seen this movie. Everyone's seen this movie. It was on Netflix probably more than any of the rest of these. Clearly, they didn't think the MCU would work unless this movie worked. It turned out fantastic. Had it not, there's so many failed film franchises. That I, Frankenstein and that Mummy movie that came out this year were supposed to be the beginning of a monster universe from Universal. That's true. That failed. Look at the DCU the last six times.
Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah.
You know, the one interesting thing about when this movie came out is that at the time before that, so Marvel had been releasing these movies. This was the first one that Marvel released as a Marvel studio. And so everyone's like, Marvel has set the new bar for superhero movies. And then I think a month and a half later, Dark Knight came out.
Yeah.
And DC managed to just go, yeah, that's funny, Marvel. Here, watch this. And then after that, has ceased to make that ever happen again.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's the truth. And I think the difference was they had one director who got it, which was Chris Nolan. Marvel, I don't think, except for the first two Iron Man movies and the two Avengers movies, have ever gone back to the same director. It's always someone different. Even Iron Man 3 was someone else. Even the third Avengers movie is someone else now.
Yep.
Did something... And I don't know, I'm asking, because I didn't see this original Iron Man until 2011. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit behind on this one. So I've not quite hit the 10-year mark. Sorry, guys. Was there anything in between Iron Man and Iron Man 2 as far as successful Marvel movies go?
There was Incredible Hulk, which was mediocre.
No. I said successful.
Yeah, no, she was clear on that.
No, I get that. I mean, I'm just thinking.
No, I think
the
it was
Ed Norton
Iron Man.
One?
Mm-hmm. No,
I
so
did
I think,
see the Ed
I think
Norton
it went.
One.
This is the way I think it went, and I'm blanking on the exact. It was Iron Man 2, Thor, and Captain America, and then you got Avengers. But I thought that Captain America and Thor came out either around close to the same time or after.
They were the same year, but after Iron Man 2.
After Iron Man 2.
And Incredible Hulk, I add, because Tony Stark is in the stinger.
He is. That is true.
Because he's like, so I hear you're a man, you're whatever, you're hulking man didn't work out. That's why I wear a suit. Credits. You're just like.
To be honest, I actually forgot about that version of the Hulk, which I did see.
You're right, too.
And I don't. I think
it was
I think
still
Nick,
better
I think you
than
and
the
I
first
have discussed
one.
This before. I honestly don't remember anything about that movie.
I mean, you're not wrong. It's
there was some sexual anger that couldn't be released, and then there was a fight, and then the movie ended.
Wait,
it was very Freudian.
Oh like, God,
this he is couldn't have. He couldn't have any sexy time. It made me so sad for him.
His blood pressure rose, and my blood pressure's
time.
Burning.
So he can't have sexy time, so he gets really hard and angry. And destroys.
Yeah. That's not what I said, but yeah.
It's yeah. pretty close to what she said. Yeah.
Without
my
details.
Blood is boiling. But yeah, no, that's kind of it. It's really just a wet noodle
it's
of a movie.
Than the
is that
one?
Jonathan calls me Kelly Hulk. I get so angry.
There is a She-Hulk.
But She-Hulk is fantastic.
I mean,
I feel like there's a difference.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Especially when Howard the Duck is involved.
They're not going to bring him back, are they?
Well, they did for
it
Guardians.
Was in it. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, but he's not going to have his own movie.
Man, I wish he would, though.
I think everyone kind of wishes deep down inside that he would in a very sarcastic way.
I want it to be a low-budget noir.
Oh, please.
Oh, no, like, because, like,
yes.
You throw money at it, it's a shame. Like,
no, no.
You wanted
simple.
To know.
It's very simple. Give it an okay budget, but not a blockbuster budget, and give it to a good director.
Set it in the 80s like the original one was, and so he can be smoking and drinking the whole time, and it's just kind of okay with it.
Just choose any of the comics that you gave me, and I am game for that.
Oh, yeah, no, just shit shows. Real just like...
Oh, God, yes.
And it starts out like Ghostbusters 2, where he's investigating nothing crimes because everyone forgets the second the issue is over all the great things he's done. And then he ends up having to find a missing ex. A MacGuffin.
The benefit is that you could actually bring in She-Hulk because She-Hulk and Howard the Duck work together quite a bit.
Okay, so
and
Iron Man.
The matter.
Yes,
why?
It was a good movie. It's hard to do a good movie on myopia.
It is.
But we can still talk about the suit.
Okay, yeah. So
right?
The first suit
there,
we talked
there
about.
There are some things... that, you know, kind of you got questions about the suit. The first question was, why try 10%, right?
Yeah, no, that is a good question. Why did you start so high?
So here's the thing. The movie's funny. And as Stark gets home, he tries to rebuild the suit. And so we have a kind of montage of him. It'd be in like a teen comedy, it would be the montage where they go to the mall, right? Yeah. And they're trying on, and the girl's trying on the dresses, or the dude's trying on the nerd's trying on the cool clothes. And he's like building a robot man suit. And he Which ends up throwing himself through walls.
Into a ceiling, a cement ceiling, by the way. He recovered very quickly.
He has like ice packs everywhere. I mean,
but my other thing was, when the suit is finally successful and he's flying around and he goes up into the upper atmosphere and it ices over, mm-hmm. how would he, as Tony Stark, have not originally taken that into account? That has always bothered me.
Well, no, I think it came down to, I want to fly really bad, and then not thinking about anything beyond, I can fly.
That's what it was. As really? Any good engineer, yeah. he'd had a couple of drinks, and he was perfecting the prototype, and he said, you know what? I think I can fly now. Let's try it out.
I think RDJ is clean right now, and so he didn't want to show a bunch of shots of him drinking. I think in real life it was, oh, all right, I'm going to try flying. I'm going to fly so good.
What was it in the comics? Was that what it was?
No, he was an alcoholic. In fact, so much of an alcoholic, at one point Jarvis disengages the suit and cuts him off from being able to be Iron Man anymore.
Like, yeah, they
that
hit
makes more sense.
Well, it's funny because I think that was around when they did that. It was late 80s, early 90s, which is the same time like they made Captain Haddock and Tintin actually not drink.
Yeah, because, they stopped him.
Because drinking was such a big thing. They're like, we really can't have characters drinking this much. It's giving a bad image to kids.
Yeah, right along Exxon Valdez, they stopped having Haddock drink as much when he was piloting huge ships. It's kind of a thing you notice. But yeah, so Stark, after flying around and having his woohoo moment, fine. He saves himself last minute by deploying some sort of slats on the back of his armor, breaking free of the ice and landing safely.
He's got an oh fuck moment. His computer is dead. Everything is dead.
He hurdles towards the earth at an acceleration of 9.81 meters per second squared. It's
exactly. I will say this movie does a good job of setting everything up. Obadiah has a little stun thing where he puts in earpieces and can paralyze people for whatever it was, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Oh. Stark does the ice thing twice. Like, everything is set up. Nothing is surprising.
There's no Deus Ex Machina moment because it's all built in there.
Even the ultimate, like, it's not really a MacGuffin, but it's kind of a MacGuffin. The little arc reactor in his chest is the thing they need to be strong enough to power these armored suits. Obadiah's men can't make it work. So he steals it, and so it's introduced in the first act, it's reinforced throughout the second act, and in the third act it becomes the thing that drives the third act. It's a well-structured, very simple movie. That's kind of why it works. I mean, the thing that stands out to me that I wish more Marvel movies did is put their heroes in actual danger. Stark is tortured. He's literally gray on the verge of death in the third act after Obadiah takes out his arc reactor, which literally is plunging like shrapnel into his heart, and his blood pressure is dropping as he bleeds out. The hero nearly dies three times in this movie.
In his own elevator.
In his own home. Like he smashes the arc reactor, which saved him, open just so he has a chance of surviving 10 minutes, and he barely does that even.
That he didn't even want to keep. And Miss Lady doesn't have a character in this movie, kept it for him because she was nostalgic about it. Like, he would have died without her, which is such a stupid way to include her in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing that's stupid about it is Pepper Potts is an indifferent character to a good character. And in the second two movies, they do much more with her. But in this one, I don't know. It's like they're afraid the movie's going to succeed in some way.
It's almost like they put this together. It's like, okay, so we have to put out a good movie because otherwise we're in the... Because what is it? After this summer, so when this came out, before even Captain America or Thor, like even Iron Man 2 came out, or like Disney bought Marvel.
Yeah.
It was like, but it was after this movie. So I feel like they're making this movie with Disney going, hey, we kind of want to buy you, but you got to actually do something first.
Yeah.
And so they're sitting here going, like, we need this to be successful, but not too successful.
Well, and again, we have to remember that RDJ was someone when he was younger, but in this, when they got him for this, he was kind of not a huge deal. This is what brings back his career for the last 10 years.
He hadn't done anything for quite some time before this. Like, just, he did prison. He did time.
He timed his abs look really good. everything made his abs look really good.
I think you said his ass. I'm like, that time too. Does not do good things to asses.
That too.
It looks great.
Whatever he did, he was a specimen here.
Snark.
Kung fu.
He's pure snark.
Lots of kung fu. I'm not making that up, but
I would like to see him do kung fu.
I mean, sure, slowly.
YouTube exists.
Yeah. Slow-mo. iPhone slow-mo.
YouTube also exists for
YouTube,
that.
Yeah.
YouTube has slow-mo speed. Now. You can half speed, quarter speed it if you want.
You can pause that shit anytime you want.
He's not on my list, but he looked really good in this movie.
He does. Yeah. I'm not going to argue. I'm not fighting you on this. He looks great. Feige, like, he's apparently always Marvel's guy, but everything else before this was Fox, right? Because he did X-Men, Daredevil, Spider-Man, Elektra.
No, sorry, because Spider-Man was Sony.
Everything but he was a producer on it.
Yes.
So. Punisher. Ooh,
why would you mention that?
Blade, but only Blade Trinity. Which is also, other one.
Danny John-Jules was in that one, if I remember correctly.
And so was Daredevil. Yes. Deadpool, excuse me.
Yes, Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds was in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was in the X-Men Wolverine movie.
Yeah, well,
I
mean, sort of.
Apparently.
Not, like, the weird.
No, Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds was in it. Deadpool was, in was it. Not.
Deadpool was like, no.
That was not Deadpool.
And apparently Wesley Snipes hated Ryan Reynolds so much that he refused to be on set the same day. So all of their dialogue scenes, they're talking to nothing.
Are you serious?
That's true.
I think it's funny because this Wesley Snipes wanted to do a Black Panther movie, but then he cheated on his taxes.
Yeah, he went to jail for like 5 years or something.
Yeah, well. I mean,
you get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like taxes, but I still send my check every year to the IRS.
You hate them, but you do them.
Yes.
I like freedom.
It's like college. No, just kidding.
Right.
I mean, and you'll still hear me say taxation is theft, but I don't want to go to prison.
Right. I will say, though, he should come back as a Black Panther villain in a future movie because he's a badass.
Oh, please.
Because he's also entering that age of his Marvel career, I guess, where he's kind of the Liam Neeson. Like, he could just be like, give me my family back. And you're just like, anyway, so I'd be negligent if I didn't repeat my favorite two lines, which is that at one point, Rhodey, who is kind of a character in this movie, but eventually becomes more of a character because he becomes Iron Patriot?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. Thanks.
He's supposed to be the War Machine, but, you know, apparently that just doesn't fit.
No, they do the War Machine in the second movie, and then they change the name, right?
No. They call him the Iron Patriot in the second movie because he goes and steals the suit because Tony's acting like a complete dick,
as right.
Tony does. And so he shows up, takes one of the suits, goes back to an Air Force base, and they paint it up and call it the Iron Patriot.
Right.
But it's supposed to be War Machine. That's...
Did they call him that later?
I thought I remember. Who knows? It's these movies, unfortunately, kind of are all the same. It's anti-military-industrial complex, which is fine, I guess. The third one is the one I remember the most of, just because it's crazy different. Which, I mean, good or bad, it's just a different movie, so power there. But Terrence Howard gets the line, looking at an empty Iron Man suit, going, "Next time, baby," which is, of course. He gets fired. It's funny because he's replaced with Don Cheadle in the next movie. Same character, fine actor. I think actually Don Cheadle kind of does a better job because he's a more sympathetic character. It's funny.
Yeah, it fits because, you know, because you've got Robert Downey Jr. being a complete dick and Don Cheadle going, "Come on, Tony, come on, stop doing this."
Right. And then you have Raza, who is the terrorist who have originally like imprisons Tony and trying to have him build what they call the Jericho missiles, which is a biblical reference to the fact that they knocked down an entire wall in a single go. Right. And so there are these missiles that spread out and explode. It's awesome. That's the military test we see at the beginning. Unfortunately, Tony Stark doesn't want to build it for him. So he builds these Iron Man suit instead. They get the scraps of that Iron Man suit and build it together. But the nerds at Stark Labs cannot build the actual arc reactor. So in the best tizzy ever. Sorry, go.
So this is important because where you're going is basically Obadiah goes and he steals the arc reactor from Tony Stark. But, and this is important because
right out of his body,
I'm not the best at, you know, spatial relations sometimes, but at the same time, you know, I'm okay. But, you know, you couldn't tell me to look at, so I'm holding a coaster right now since we're recording this audit, and tell me, okay, I need to build something just looking at this so that I can reach into another man's chest and yank out an arc reactor that's roughly this size and go, build me that tool. Yeah, but what's the diameter? I don't know. Just build me that tool.
Well, maybe they had that piece of the chess piece, though.
Or maybe they had a coaster.
They've got the robot. They've got the hole, right? The use cases are defined. Gentlemen, it has to fit in this hole. That hole right there. The hole in the chest. It's got to go in the hole in the chest, you dummies. Just build it.
But when Ralphie from A Christmas Story goes, "Sir, we can't build this. I'm not Tony Stark." He goes, "But Tony built it in a cave with a box of scraps.
We don't have the plutonium, sir."
Because it's like you were alluding to, it was former movie The Core. It's unobtainium. Like, this guy's having a little hissy fit out of scraps.
1.21 gigawatts.
It's unavailabilium. We don't have it. It's unavailable.
I call it unobtainium. And you're just like, uh-huh.
Poor Ralphie.
But I do love, like, it's almost addressing Neil deGrasse Tyson. We get it. It's a movie. Fuck off. Like, it's...
Can I have that audio for my podcast? Because I want that anytime Neil deGrasse Tyson says anything. Fuck it. We get it. It's a movie.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Make it your ringtone.
That's really how the middle of this movie felt, though. It was like four montages later. None of us are paying attention. We're like, oh, the action's... There's the Transformers battle sequence again. You know, you can vaguely pay attention if you want to. The montages are over. Movies are happening.
I was so happy that he landed on one of his sports cars. Is that mean?
No.
He's testing his fucking suit in a garage of like 15 beautiful, expensive cars.
Not paintings. Yeah, no.
And he lands and goes through two floors and lands on one of his Porsches. Like, thank you.
You know, thank you. It's so funny because it's clearly a movie where like money doesn't matter to him at all. And so he just starts destroying things he cares about by accident.
I want to be that person.
This guy's got Bill Gates level wealth. I mean, you know, there is no car.
But Bill Gates is too smart to do this stuff. Like, no, he's too responsible.
Agreed.
Let me rephrase that.
Because real billionaires are.
Responsible?
I don't know. You've read about Jeff Bezos, right?
That's fair. They also, like, the other thing is I can't imagine Bill Gates ever dressing that well. He just looks like a stretched out sweater guy.
I would not be in doubt if he said he got his hair cut at Sports Clips like that.
Oh, his wife cut it for him.
Oh, that's adorable. He probably shops at Walmart, too. I do, too. I mean, I love you, Bill Gates. We should shop at Walmart together, but...
you should pay for
actually, you know what?
You should pay someone for my like $4 that, jeans.
Someone like that should probably shop at, like, Kohl's or whatever, because no one would recognize him.
Kohl's is too expensive. Who are you? Who are you with your money? Walmart, $10. Let's do this.
I'm a teacher. I can't afford things nicer than Kohl's.
You can't afford Walmart.
I made this outfit out of cave, out of scraps. We're assembling this podcast out of scraps.
Yeah.
In a cave.
So Jarvis is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Very snarky, sassy robot.
Snarky AI is fantastic.
It's like Alan Tudyk from Rogue One.
Exactly. Do you think that Tony Stark wrote him on purpose to
of
be
course.
Snarky, or do you think it's like a glitch in the system?
Oh no, Paul Bettany was hot. Like it was not only necessary, but it was the only person who would talk back to him like all the time. Like I would have my computer call me a jackass if I was being a jackass.
Really?
I mean, as a programmer, wouldn't you want like the computer to say, "Hey, fuckhead, there's a glitch here. Not compiling. Hey, fuckhead."
And I found it very interesting that the technology powering the sarcastic, condescending artificial intelligence is probably more sophisticated than Iron Man.
Yeah. Like, the AI is amazing. Yeah.
I think my favorite AI is the fire hydrant guy.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, Tony's like, no, you, I'm fine.
And he literally just has like a normal fire extinguisher and like a robotic arm just aiming it at shit. It's amazing.
Perfect comedic timing, too.
But he is able to tell it not to. It does listen to him.
It's good.
I kind of love it.
Anyway.
I love what he does with his AI.
At the end of the movie, Obadiah, not only is revealed to have put the plot to the terrorist to capture Tony and kill him, but has been developing the suit to make what he calls Warmonger, which is kind of a hulked out version of the Iron Man suit. It's bigger, it's bulkier. It looks exactly like the Iron Man suit that's in the trailer for Avengers Infinity War, just not red. And they have a big old fight. What?
Oh, no, I think the one for Infinity War, they're referencing the Hulk.
Well, I think they're referencing more specifically, but it's the same big old bulked suit.
Yeah.
And then they have a big old end boss fight.
They got a big old brawl.
So basically what we're saying is that in the desert, they found Tony's old suit. And they're like, we can rebuild him. Yeah. We have the technology.
Stronger, more...
That's his entire movie, actually, is we can rebuild
him. We have Tony's money. Let's put it to use.
We have Tony's money.
But can you make it for a slightly taller fat guy? I mean, yeah, I guess. Only other person we should mention here is because this is when they introduce us to Coulson. Coulson, who is in the Avengers movies. He's a Man of Our Shield.
That's what I was going to say. Oh. That was my original point way long ago that I forgot.
Mm. Go ahead. Did you have a point?
Oh, I love him. Yeah. So when I started watching the other movies, because I had seen this one first and I saw it so long ago, and still so far behind, I didn't realize kind of what a great character he was and how he, I guess, introduced Tony Stark to everybody.
Yeah.
He was always just kind of a given for me. I knew him from the beginning as far as I was concerned. But I never put together that he was actually in this movie. And yeah. So when Pepper Potts is like, I'm going to give you the interview of your life.
Yeah.
Like, she really did got him into all this stuff. Like, I loved everything he did.
He plays a great straight man for all of this, too.
Well, and it's funny because, the archetype for that he's playing is, I don't know, like the David Duchovny type. Because he's not impressed with the shit he's seen. He's just already seen shit.
He's seen it.
And he's like, done. I'm here to help. Trust me. And the thing is, they keep putting him off. And he's okay, kind of not okay with it, but he's like I've dealt with superheroes before. They're all this way.
Well, he keeps spelling out, like saying word for word, the business. And Tony Stark's like, oh, you should come up with something, a better name for that. And he's like, yeah, people keep telling me that. Like, fuck off. Yeah. And then at the end credits, you know, you've got Nick Fury coming. I'm with S.H.I.E.L.D. You kind of have to figure that out. Like, I like that it's not directly associated right at the beginning.
Well, and I will give you this too. It's what the DCU always fucks up, which is that everyone has to be a charismatic presence. They're always big. And he melts into the background like a bureaucrat in a good way, right? Because if he had a personality all of his own like Nick Fury does at the end, nothing would matter. He would not matter because you wouldn't care. You'd be like just another fuckhead showing up on screen who wants to be the center of the scene. But he's just like, excuse me. I would like to talk to you about this initiative that has 12 words in it.
You've blown me off twice. What about our meeting?
Exactly. You have this person that cares in this weird nerdy kind of way, and it gives
my outlook reminded me.
Well, and then in three movies when shit is going down, you know he's still going to be calm. In fact, when Obadiah is tearing through that like Godzilla, he's just like, he's the only one who escapes calmly because he has no emotions left in his body. He has no more shits to give.
He's been there, done that.
I really want an Agent Coulson like graphic novel of everything leading up to Iron Man that he's been through that leads him to
That's post.
That's why I'm asking for a graphic novel because I just don't trust them to do this in some sort of film format.
Oh, I mean, it's literally,
you should write it.
I mean, I was telling you, like, this is like the cigarette smoking man where we cut back to him being the one who puts the shell in the alien at Area 51's head. Just because, like, at that point, what else is there to scare you? Like, he's already been at the extremity of what it means to be a human in the universe, whatever. Now he's just he's a pencil pusher who's, all right, another fucking superhero, I guess, this week. I mean, I dig that character because he's possibly the one who's the most human in all this, other than John Favreau himself, the guy who's the driver who's like, Tony, turn around, she's kind of hot. Like, I believe he's really a douchebag because I've met drivers before. They're that guy. You should be hitting on her. Go hit on her. Anyway.
I hate when drivers tell me which girl to hit on.
Oh, my God. And then this one on the way to the airport was talking about the MCU the whole time. So, you know, they're all nerds or assholes. We're fine. Drive me safely, please. So, we've talked long enough. We're going to start with you, Steve. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. It was a movie. It was a good movie. It was a motivated movie. Tony Stark had motivation to be Iron Man and demonstrated his technical prowess through a series of montages. I feel like the other Iron Mans are very much like, oh, yeah, I'm Iron Man. Let's go kick some ass. And things are happening. But this one really has a lot of motivation and purpose, and it feels good. And the CGI holds up a decade later, so I dug it.
Which is surprising.
It was good. Yeah.
No.
I was happy with it.
So you're telling us it's a motion picture. Got it.
It is. It's a real movie, and you should watch it if you haven't, even a decade later.
Very good. Kelly.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like even though I saw this 3 years after it came out, looking at it now, I think it holds up. And if I were a billionaire, I would make a super awesome suit. And I don't have it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any other purpose behind it other than I want to be Iron Man.
So. What color would your Iron Man be?
I think I would keep the gold.
Uh-huh.
No, you know what? I wouldn't. I would do burnt orange and purple. Because, yeah, go Tigers.
Would the purple be the main color or the orange?
I think my purple would be in place of the red. And my burnt orange would be more of a brass, like a nice, pretty brass color in place of the gold.
I get the color, why you chose them. I think the purple would go well with the silver.
But it would be a darker purple, though, so it would have to go with brass. Like, it wouldn't be a vibrant purple. Mm. It would almost be
a copper.
Verging on maroon, but not quite there.
Gotcha.
Steampunk purple.
I would develop
more visible hex nuts and gears too.
Oh yeah, yeah, and my palms would glow like an orange copper kind of color.
Louder sound effects.
I mean, that's like the nice thing that cosplayers do. You can do it right on the spot.
Yeah, sure.
I think I would just or go for the transparent panels, and I'd be naked underneath. It'd be very distracting to everyone.
I'm not going
to
say that I wouldn't be naked, and I'm not going to say that I haven't put a lot of thought into how I would make this suit when I win the lottery. but probably I haven't.
I appreciate the fact that there were no Batman jokes in this movie.
Here's the sort of subtle difference, though. If you won the lottery and built this, you would be... You know, you'd be like the first rocket, right? What's going through my mind? It's that every part of this robot has been built by the lowest bidder. And it's going to fall apart.
But I'm already half robot.
That's true.
No, you're not. But she's not building this off of the government requirement for building this. If the government built this, yes, it's everyone by the lowest
bidder. Oh, no, this is an island in the Caribbean. Like, this is something that shouldn't happen.
I'm doing this in my garage with my money. Whatever. I can do this. I studied physics.
It's just going to be stress. You're just going to strap cash to you. It's the way that Magic Johnson AIDS in South Park. He just injects himself with money.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to do.
Tommy boy, what's your last thought?
Well, fuck you, not Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
No, I'd go, if I had to do this, it would have to be full on burnt orange because, you know, I'm coaching the Longhorns right now. No.
Right.
I love this movie. It really does stand up. I mean, even 10 years later, which is surprising because there's some movies I've seen from 4 or 5 years ago that still don't. That aren't even holding up that well. This is a good movie. This was a solid start for the MCU. And if you haven't seen it, what the hell have you been doing for the last 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, and I apologize for those who really like us what to get into this because we didn't, in a way, just because we assumed everyone's kind of seen this. But, like, the thing you forget is all the characters are good. Even Yinsen, the guy at the beginning, who essentially builds the electromagnet in his chest to save his life, who's kind of, in any other movie, would not be a character. They characterize, actually, and he does a great job.
He has a backstory. Like, you know his backstory, everything. He's really well done.
And when he dies, it matters. Like, Tony actually gets affected, and you realize too that he hasn't cared about anyone in 10 years. He's telling the guy how to properly do a selfie like a prick, and then when you know what I mean, like that's the first scene, he's like holding the camera, he's like no, up here, and you're just like, also I'm not the only one who, when someone puts hashtag no filters, you automatically assume there's at least 3 filters. Okay.
Rude. No, I truly no filter.
I swear to God, everyone who does that, everyone assumes that you have at least 2 or 3 filters on. Yeah.
I have to stop using that hashtag.
Don't ever use that hashtag. But anyway, I will say at the end of the day, it's not only a good movie because it's well assembled and the jokes are actually funny and the timing is there. You don't ever see these heroes in actual threats. You know, like Loki is Thor's equal, but Thor's never at a disadvantage. He's just matched, right? This is Iron Man nearly dying and saved by luck. Here's the thing about it all. I think this movie is good, and it's a shame that the MCU slips away from this model in some ways, because I like these characters feeling threatened.
They turned into a money factory.
They did. Honest. I mean, honestly, I do appreciate that eventually they decide we need to at least change the genre. And you have heist films, you have spy movies, you have these other things, because that's what makes it fresh in a way that other movies fall short.
They're doing a good job. I'm not throwing them under the bus, but everything is very safe.
So with that, we're just about out of time. I will give you a hint, like I always do, at least this season I've remembered to.
we go back to our regular schedule of programming. Of course, this one was changed because the MCU decided to release Avengers a week early.
Yay.
But we're going back to an animated movie, and we're going to Don Bluth's first animated classic. So tune in next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defender's Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. The theme song is Caroline by The Serenaders, and their music is available on Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And tune in next week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.